feeling in. I know what's right, and I know what's wrong, but she keeps me warm in this heartache of mine. When I listen to the winds, they have stories to tell. Oh, how I love was not enough to make it through until the end. Until
Hey there, you're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. I'm your host, Ryan Funk, and welcome to UTalk. A Ukrainian immigrant is doing what she can to help her country. Yevgenia Tatarenko and many other residents of Morden, Manitoba have created a distribution network to get supplies to Ukraine.
I'm Yevgenia Tatarenko, and I have been living in Canada for almost 6 years by now. And I do live in a small city of Morden and in Manitoba. And I'm instructor, marketing instructor at Red River College Polytechnic. And also, I was the leader of Ukrainian United School in Morden, and one of the organizers of different Ukrainian events, and was presented of my country at different festivals and so on. And I'm a fire spinner, fire dancer. Now with the start of the war, I turned in my Ukrainian school, or instead of reopening my Ukrainian school, I made the decision that I will turn this location into the drop-off location for the different donations of the humanitarian items, medical supplies, protective gear for Ukraine. Because for me and for a lot of my volunteers here, this active way became the only way to go as war started in Ukraine.
What was your first reaction when the news broke?
Before even the invasion, because I was participating in a lot of rallies, and I was bringing people together here locally and in Winnipeg, so we were organizing those rallies. I was given a lot of interviews, like commenting these and so on. Like, the whole world was talking about this, but I think not a lot of people were actually expecting that it will happen so soon. And the story that we actually had the newcomers evening, exactly on that evening when it was the morning in Ukraine when everything started. And we actually, we were together, like those newcomers from Ukraine who just, you know, entered Canada and arrived to more than just a month or one and a half months ago. Yes, we were all together. And we, as we were chatting, we weren't checking news, right, or something like this. When we returned back from newcomers evening, can you imagine all of us at home, we discovered the war started. We just were together, all together, happily, you know, celebrating their arrival and so on, so on, boom. So for sure, I still haven't slept a lot, more than like 3-4 hours per day. Yes, but the first week I didn't sleep at all because that was the total mass of the information around and all those decisions, what should be done, what should I, you know, start with and so on, because I do have my mom in Ukraine and she lives alone. And she lives, you know, on the highway from Donetsk to Zaporizhia, and she lives alone there. So she doesn't have anyone, you know, kind of grab her and bring her to Canada. I was trying to evacuate her for first 3 days, I would say, 2-3 days. And then the situation was escalating so drastically, so quickly. So I was changing her route of driving like so many times. Then we just realized that it's impossible for her to, even if she finds the car that she can drive, because her car was absolutely, you know, like going under, like through a rebuilding process. So it was in pieces, so she couldn't drive her car. Even if I find the car for her, so it would be really dangerous for her to drive through. Like she would need to cross the whole country from the southern east to the west, right? So it's impossible. And then we made the decision, and then she started to tell me that, you know, I trust Ukraine, I trust Ukrainian army, I trust our boys, like our males, our defenders. I don't want to leave the country. And then I realized, and like the whole world on the third day of the war, they started to see that Ukraine is not, you know, not a small country. They're like, Ukraine is pretty brave country, right? It's not, even being small, it doesn't mean that it's weak country, right? Like the whole world started to see that we can do something. And then we made the decision with my mom that she will stay in Ukraine until, you know, the very victory, or until she has still place to live in. And I will focus on helping Ukraine. So for me, because I can't physically grab her and bring to Canada, like, just so you understand, so many people are trying to find the ways, you know, to apply for visas, blah, blah, blah. She has visa. She has a visa for next 7 or 8 years, so she can come anytime, but she doesn't want. She trusts Ukrainian army. She wants to stay there. She wants to see them winning this war. And for me, helping Ukraine, it's more about like helping like my friends. You know, 70% of my friends in Ukraine, they are defenders now, or they are paramedics, or they are volunteers that organize logistics. All of them, my age, for sure, I'm 17 years old, but, right, like my friends of my generation, they are fighting right now. They are making the history of Ukraine, and I know them. They are my friends that I was hugging so many times. And for me, helping Ukraine, helping those people in Zaporizhia, in Kharkiv, in Kyiv, in other regions where I get those requests, it's, you know, it's like I'm helping with my hands. I'm helping my mom because they are saving my country. So they are protecting my country and her as well. So I do have friends that told me like, yeah, no worries, we'll take care of your mom, right? And they are military officers or something like this. Anything we can do, we'll do our best. And for me, it's really very personal, because again, I do have a lot of friends who are actually fighting for lives, for freedom there. And a lot of people that I was working for years from Canada, they are there. They're working and, you know, protecting the country and trying to win this war and fight it. So that was my decision. That's why. And I think that is my main motivation. No matter what, every single day, 20 hours per day, I work, I move, I run, I need to do something. I need to organize logistics. I do need to put things together. I do need to promote our initiatives. I do need to come with new ideas. Okay, what volunteers can help with what? Okay, where to bring what people, how to say enough thank you to all like businesses that support us and so on, so on. It's a lot of work. And I do teach full time and I do mark full time as well, right? But this is my main motivation because I know with everything we do, we save lives. And the cool thing also about like our team of Help Ukraine More Than that our volunteers, especially those that make flags, that they keep in mind each flag means one tourniquet. One tourniquet means one saved life. So that's why they can be so productive. I have one volunteer that made over 150 flags within 2 weeks. All together with huge flags, custom made flags that has like different, you know, different way of making and so on, like really hard work. I couldn't even imagine that something like this is possible. And when I see, or all of us, when we see how the local community helps, right? How businesses, at least with, you know, medications, with medical supplies, or with anything else, with the printing of something, when they help, or with the selling fabric for us was 50% off, or even 70% off. It's a huge deal, right? It helps a lot. And when I see this, it's just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Seems like the world, you know, God and universe, they just love us. They just love all Ukrainians and everyone just wants to help. And it's really incredible that we actually, we went a little bit different way. We started to exchange like the donations for flags, right? Or selling flags is how we call it, right? But we because each flag, sometimes we get $50 even, or $100, $200, because people just want to help. It's more donation and the flags are like donation receipt, right? From our side. But then we started to bring artists and craft makers. Yes, that started to donate like different really cool artworks or really cool crafts and really incredible. Some of them, without even asking us, they were bringing to our drop-off location and just saying like, "Hey, this is for you. Can you sell it?" And so on, so on. It's really incredible. We're like companies when they buy like 20, 30, 50 flags for their employees, for their, you know, partners and so on, so on. And that is really cool, right? To see the reaction of the community. So I would say this has been the main motivation, seeing that we can make a difference and we can be creative and the world will support us.
Yevgenia is so dedicated. It's inspiring to hear about the work she and others are doing. Let's take a moment to listen to some tunes from Neil Little and Chick Chameleon. And then Yevgenia will share more about the supplies they're sending to Ukraine.
First of the benches, it was Scratches and the teeth grew.
So at this point, what we do, we like none of other volunteers like here, right, in Canada, none of them started actually making something here in Canada, right, and sending to Ukraine. Most of them, they started to collect the donations of the items, money, and so on, so on. We went different way. We started to make like really, really in high need tactical medical bags. Those are the first aid kits, like the bags for first aid kits, right? So we started to make them here locally, right? With the support of Diesel Custom Sewing, right? So again, we are paying, we're covering like all the expenses, right? And labor and fabrics and everything, right? They don't charge anything extra, just to cover all the expenses, right? We started also with them. We started, and actually I'll be sending tomorrow and day after tomorrow, I'll be sending first of those fire resistant blankets. So can you imagine? So those are like warm blankets, but they are also fire resistant, which is really awesome, because even if you know there is the fire, so right, so you just can cover and you can be safe. And we are sending those blankets also together with the firefighters gear, which is another part of our mission as well, right? So it's kind of works everything together, like making flags, making those bags, making blankets. Now we started to make those little pins, and like I discovered that they actually look the same, and they are the same size as Ukrainian defenders. They have like little flags, like little patches of the flags on their uniform. So they are wearing those like flags, little flags all the time with them. And we started to make those, right? So then like Diesel just offered, like, we have those like little pieces. Why not to use them and make those little flags? And then again, like got the idea, like, yeah, this is exactly what all defenders are wearing. So we can be, you know, we can be as them. We can also fight here, right? Help in Ukraine, and also to wear those little flags as well as the part of our, you know, uniform for every day of our life. And another one huge initiative that we had because I'm a fire dancer and a fire performer, like a lot of people, they just know me because I have different names, right? A lot of people just, oh, fire girl. Yeah, that's me as well. So I do have some attachment to the fire world and to fire departments and fire chiefs and so on, so on. And everything started with the Winkler Fire Department. So they messaged me like, we have the check for you prepared. We want to donate some cool money for your initiative. And for me, it was like, oh my God, superheroes want to donate. That's so cool. So they donated $1,000. So I picked up that check. We had this chat together, nice pictures, everything was official. And then again, so we were talking about how they want to help, why they are actually doing this, because they saw like everything that we're doing, and that we are not just collecting items, but we started to ship them as soon as possible. We started to send those items with volunteers that are actually flying to Poland, right? And I do have the logistics organize it from Poland that will bring to Ukraine and deliver through Ukraine and so on and so on, which works, right? So and from more than till the final destination, it takes up to five days maximum in the world reality that people can get that help. So they started to see this, so they wanted to help. And then they mentioned one phrase like, we are first responders and we want to help the first responders in Ukraine as well. And because you're making those tactical medical bags for paramedics, and we see what you do, what medical supplies you send, we want to help. And the same night, I was thinking about, you know, like, yeah, first responders, they want to help first responders. The same night, this is why I say, like, the whole world, the God universe, they just know how everything should be done. The same night, I got the request from Kharkiv firefighters that they lost a lot of people or a few of the people, and they are training like the new volunteers, firefighter volunteers, but they don't have the gear for them at all. So they are basically naked going into the fire, right? So they don't have anything to put on their heads, on their bodies.
No protective equipment.
No protective equipment, no gear at all. And I was thinking, like, that's a question. What if I ask Winkler Fire Department, just in case, what if they have something used that they didn't need anymore? So, and I actually texted them the same night, like asking, like, I know that you helped us already, but is there any chance that you have some gear, some uniform gear, right, that you can donate? That we can send to Kharkiv as soon as possible, so just to save, you know, your partners in fire crime. Yeah. And they told me, like, actually we have, and I was like, oh, that's cool. So they told me, then they told me, like, okay, we'll mail other departments as well under the Association of Manitoba Chiefs, of Manitoba Fire Chiefs. And then also, there is another one superhero in this story, very quiet superhero, but I have a friend, so she lived here in Morden. She's a photographer. She's a super cool photographer. Her name is Regina Hankina, and she lived here. And then she moved to British Columbia, to Victoria. But her mission and her attachment to this area and to me, to my story and to my country, never stopped, you know, when she left Morden. And she actually became firefighter in British Columbia. So she was dreaming about becoming a firefighter here in Morden. Never happened, but she became firefighter in British Columbia, right? So it took her for sure next 3-4 years, but she achieved her goal. So I asked her, as the person that speaks the same language, like, Regina, do you know if your fire department also can, you know, send something? I can even fly to BC to pick up everything just in case. So she started to ask her own department, then local departments in BC, and none of them, you know, was reacting actually. And then she didn't even tell me. She started to email all the fire departments in Manitoba, sending them like, okay, there is help. Ukraine Morden Initiative, Evgenia. So they are looking for used firefighter gear. So if you can donate something. And like next day, I started to get a lot of emails, texts saying like, we have the fire gear for you. And we have fire gear for you. Where can we deliver it? And I was like, oh wow, that's a lot. So, and then yeah, she told me like, actually that was me. So that's why, like, within like first 3 days, we collected firefighter gear from 8 different fire stations in Manitoba, and now we're still waiting for more. So it's already 11, I think, fire departments and coming and counting. So, and that was like, because they are first responders, they are very quick actually, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, they have that mindset and that training to be like, yeah, all right, let's get on, right, it, let's do this,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. And then we discover it. So at one of the fire stations, that they actually have the firefighter bags. And when I ask it, can you actually donate me? Like, you know, so I'm learning to not to be shy anymore. So I ask to donate the bag as well, just so I can check. And actually, I discovered, and together, not just me, but together with my volunteers, we discovered that we can fit 2 full sets of the firefighter gear, like everything, starting from helmets, like 2 helmets, 2 jackets, 2 pairs of pants, 2 pairs of boots, 2 pairs of gloves, 2 balaclavas, and so on and so on, whatever we need to put into one bag. And the weight will be 20 or 21 kilos. So it's even, you know, lower number of kilos that you can send with the in suitcase perfectly. So it works perfectly for us. So then I started to ask other firefighter fire stations, like if they have some bags. So they started to donate bags. And again, the Winkler Fire Department, they even ordered for us, again, that was a big surprise. They ordered them, like the new bags, order it on Amazon. So, and they actually help also to collect and like put everything together. And for example, when I need to send, right, now they help me put everything together. So they bring everything to my place, and then I bring everything to Winnipeg and send to Ukraine. So
what a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, it works. And this is like my role, what I keep in mind. My role was help Ukraine initiative, not to do the job like everything that I can, but organize the structure, the system that will work. And what I see now with all this promotion, right, with all those reports, with all those pictures, with all the connections, it just started to work, as you mentioned, like a nicely oiled machine, right? So it works. People want to help more, people want to support, people want to bring more, and so on, so on. They want to order flags to Portage Lottery, they want to order flags to Brandon, to Dauphin, and so on, right? So we're sending a lot. So we're sending to BC, like the 30 flags to BC, 100 flags to Dauphin, and 30 to Portage La Prairie, and so on, right? So it works. And just when people see that you, your team, like all Ukrainians, like here, right, they work really hard to make a difference, and it's really quick difference making, right? They want to help more. And this is like incredible, like to see like that being creative, you can achieve a lot. You can help a lot.
There's still more to come. Mayana, It Won't Be Long, a new song from their EP, The Walls.
I hope the smoke stays, don't dissipate. Make your way across the lake. Take it home in every stitch. I hope the smoke stays. Ghostly gray, still as still.
Evgeny, it's really impressive the just the community coming together to support Ukraine during this horrific crisis. And I think the most important part about just, you know, all coming together and getting these supplies out is maintaining awareness out here in Canada. Because it's all too easy, even if something's horrific's happening overseas, does our media and news forget about it. So what you're doing and the amazing people and volunteers coming together, keeping that awareness is just fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's actually like what I'm saying, we're educating sometimes people. We even have the huge screen at our drop-off location where we show, like, you know, on the huge screen, like 77 different videos about the war, but, you know, kids friendly videos, right? And elderly friendly videos, but at least so people can see, like, what is the reality there, not the horrible reality, right? But at least some of the top, you know, like skimming of the everything that is going on there. So, and again, and you are so right, this is what I am saying, that the most, like, our mission is to bring community together, like, and this is what impresses me and every one of us, that how all people and community comes together, how even kids, how they organize fundraisers, and like two kids, they raise it over $1,000, $1,104 or something like these, right? It's incredible. 9 and 6 years old kids can make this huge difference. So they basically paid for 85 tactical medical bags with this donation, right? Which means 85 people, volunteers and defenders, will get that help in Ukraine, right? So that's why, again, we are buying medical supplies, we're paying for the shipment and so on, right? And we're buying different things, we're covering those costs of the materials, we're making the difference. And it's really cool to see that our community wants to help. And I hope, yeah, that we can make even more difference, because we know, and we get more and more requests from different regions. And they really trust and they really believe in us, and they see what we make, and they really need our help.
Ukraine's going to need support for years. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of recovery, and there's going to have to be a lot of
building,
unity and friendship between the world to help each other. And hopefully we can all learn from this how horrible war and violence is, and maybe in the future we can avoid situations like this and live in peace.
That's the thing, because world wasn't expecting for the war in Europe, right, or in any of the European countries, but Ukraine, believe me, it's very European country. The level of the development and the speed of the development of the like of Ukraine, and Ukrainian society before the war, it was so quick. It was incredible. So it's very European country. And now what we're seeing, all the destruction and so on, so on. But again, as I say, we as volunteers, we promise never stop until the victory of Ukraine. And then we'll continue with the rebuilding of Ukraine. Awesome.
Well, Yevgenia, where can people go if they want to donate or support the Help Ukraine Mourn in Pembina Valley organization?
Yeah, so they can just search again on Facebook for now, Help Ukraine Mourn and Pembina Valley, or just Help Ukraine Mourn, they will find these. And as soon as we're going to have our website up and running, so it will be also, as the one word, Help Ukraine Mourn .com. And there they can donate. And again, they can always go to our Facebook page. And I think in almost every post, we have like how to donate, all right? E-transfers, checks, or PayPals, and so on, so on. So it's easy to donate. It's easy to find us at 500 Stevens Street in Morden to bring medical supplies, protective gear, and so on, to buy flags, to buy souvenirs, artworks, and so on, and to support this initiative. Because we are fighting here for our Ukraine, and we do need help as well as Ukraine needs.
Of course. Well, thank you, Yevgenia, for taking the time to share with me about the work you're doing to help our brothers, sisters, friends overseas.
Yes, our Ukrainian family, as I say. All Ukrainians, yeah. They are in our Ukrainian family, and Canadian family also, they feel the same, right? So we feel like the big family. So it's my honor, as I say, it's my honor. And this is the same for all our volunteers. It's honor to help Ukraine.
If you want to help out Ukraine, there's a Help Ukraine Mourn group that you can find on Facebook. Want to hear more stories and music from amazing people across Canada? Check out U Radio by U Multicultural. Listen in at u-channel.ca. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk. And have yourself a good one.
You're real good at building walls, walls that no one else can see. You're real good at building walls, yeah, walls that separate you from me. And now I try to hammer them down, I try to hammer them down. I ended up breaking you down, I ended up breaking us down. Your walls had such nice windows, yeah, with pretty flowers that smelled so sweet. Your walls had such nice windows, yeah, from where you would smile back at me. And I tried to shatter them down, I tried to shatter them down. I ended up breaking you down, I ended up breaking us down. Now those windows, they don't open for me. I wonder, did they ever really, will they ever open for me? we'll never know. I guess we'll never know. You're real good at building walls, walls that no one else can see. I pray one day those walls will fall, yeah, and let your light shine.